Well, these communities have been affected by violence for several years now, and their needs are great, and the needs are many. So now we are talking a lot about the difficult food situation, and that, of course, has been one of our major concerns in the area. And providing emergency food assistance have been one of our important activities in the area, and we've been distributing emergency food assistance to some 60,000 people in 2016 and the beginning of this year. So this is one of the big concerns. But then there are also many others, like these people, they are cut from the rest of the country. Many of them, they are unable to reach out to be able to maintain contact with their families. We've been helping them to maintain contact with their relatives, providing them with phone calls. Mm-hmm. We've been doing medical evacuations. So the needs are really are numerous in this area, I think, for just one organization to be able to address.
Yes, and specifically, is it Lair that you're in or some other places that you like to tell us?
Mostly we are in Lair itself, and then the surrounding areas, like the villages that are around Lair.
Tell us, you said you've been evacuating, you've been distributing food. I mean, you've been there on the ground. Really, how will you describe the situation?
The situation is very difficult for the people who live there. Like, basically, they try to restart over their life over and over again. They try to plant their crops, but then the fighting starts again, and these people, they are unable to go back to their fields and go to collect to gather their crops. So they have to survive basically on the river can provide to them. They fish. They survive on wild fruit, and we've been trying to give them the means to enable them to go through this difficult time. Like, we've been distributing fishing kits to them, something that helps them when they have to run away from the area because of the fighting and they have to hide in the remote swampy areas. They've been using these fishing kits to be able to sustain themselves.
What images have you seen on the ground that you'd like to share with us?
I think the most striking image that we've seen on the ground is the image of desolation. Like, you see abandoned villages, you see abandoned houses, the markets that are not functioning anymore, people not being able to go to their fields and tend to their crops. And I think, to me, this was the most striking image that you see there.
Mm-hmm. And how easy is it or how difficult is it for the ICRC to reach people who are mostly in need there?
I think it is much more difficult than it is easy, and for a number of different reasons. One of the first reasons is that the affected people, they are often, they have to run away and hide, and they are often scattered in remote swampy areas where it's very difficult for us to reach them. That is one of the reasons. Then the second reason also is this recurrent violence, the fighting that has been going on and off, and it takes for us also a lot of negotiations to be able to, like, we are present on the ground, and we talk with everybody who's been involved in the hostilities, trying to make sure that we secure this access for ourselves so that we can bring this vital assistance to the people who need it.
Yes. As we speak now, what are your immediate activities that you're really doing to help the people there?
Well, earlier this month, a couple of weeks ago, we have finished food distribution, emergency food distribution, and we've reached some 60,000 people with this food distribution. And we are preparing also some distribution of seeds and tools to also, because for us it is important not just bring food to people, but give them the means to be able to provide mm-hmm. provide for themselves, for their families. And there are a number of activities that I mentioned earlier that are still ongoing. We provide phone calls, because food is important, but is not everything. People also need to be able to contact their families, talk to their loved ones. We visit detention places. We visit detainees. We organize medical evacuations for the wounded. And also, one of the very important activities, also maybe like one of the less visible ones, mm-hmm. is promoting and spreading the knowledge of the international humanitarian law. Like, we continuously present there, and we remind to everybody, to all those involved in the fighting, that it's important to respect civilians and their property, because it's not just enough to give food to people. Because if then everything is looted, and like people each time they try to start their life again, they have to run. It's important that civilians and their property are respected by everybody.
Great. We all know the IFCRC is doing quite a great job there in that part of the country. But can this be sustained? Is this something that can go on and on? What needed to be done in order to address this issue once and for all?
I think what we need is we need some long-term political solutions. We need everybody who is involved in the hostilities to negotiate and to come to terms. I think, yes, as I said before, no humanitarian response is not a long-term solution for these people. The only long-term solution for them is peace. And that's what they need to be able to plant their crops again, to be able to rebuild their houses and continue with their lives.
Aliona, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. Any message you'd like to send out there?
I would just like maybe once again to repeat something that is of crucial importance that I said before, that respecting is not just enough to give people food. What they need, it's very important that everybody who's on the ground and who's involved in the hostilities respects civilian population and their property.
Thank you.